Stay standing here this morning. We're going to be talking this morning about walking in the Spirit. And very important thing. In fact, that's our theme this year is walking in the Spirit. And so if you'll read with me the top verse, it says this, walk in the Spirit. Say it with me this morning, walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's simple. Shall we pray, everyone? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, second verse says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Say with me this morning, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's talk this morning about it, what it really means to walk in the Spirit and how we can be better at it, all right? Father in heaven, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking to us by your Spirit and by your Word this morning. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. We are called to be people of the Spirit. God, help us to know what that means and to walk in your Spirit. We pray it in your holy name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven Word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy Word on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says I am, whatever the Word of God says I have, whatever the Word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. There's a set of notes that you received this morning already. Just in case we missed you, ask for a set of notes and we'll get them right to you. All right? Hallelujah. One of the greatest goals that we can have as believers is to walk in the Spirit. It really is. And today we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit. So I want you to open your Bibles today. We're going to be in one part of our Bible. We'll be in the book of Galatians. And this is Paul to the Galatians, and I'd like you to just turn to Galatians chapter 5, all right? Any other verses that I share this morning, they'll just come up on the screen, but start out with me in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, all right? It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's how the Amplified Version reads this, and I love the Amplified Version. Just it kind of amplifies the Greek meaning of the words in the Hebrew and so forth, but it says, walk and live habitually in the Spirit. In other words, make it a habit to walk in the Holy Spirit. And by that, we mean to be responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh or of the human nature without God. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. How many ever had a problem with your flesh? You say, oh me, oh my. Got the t-shirt. Hate that when that happens. But you see, our flesh and our spirit are always at odds with each other. And one wins or the other wins. Either the spirit wins or the flesh wins. Which one's going to win? Let me tell you what. The one that you feed the most is going to win. If you feed the flesh, you're of the flesh going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. So always be sowing to the Spirit, but not sowing to the flesh. Can I get a witness here this morning? And then be led by the Spirit. Next verse says this, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Say it with me this morning, if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under the law. Now say it with me, I'm not under the law. Now, how many are glad this morning, if those of you that understand the Christian walk a little bit, we used to have the Old Testament and the rule of the law, and now we're under a new covenant, and thank God for His grace, amen, because we were very bad at keeping the law. And in fact, in the Old Testament, if you looked up the Jewish history and the Jewish tradition, the Talmud, and the Torah. The Torah are the five books of Moses that we have. In other words, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses. In those five books, the Torah, there are 613 laws. Say with me this morning, 613 laws. I'm going to ask you a question right now. How many laws are there in the five books of Moses or in the Torah? How many? 613. How many of you probably won't, you'll try to remember that. 613. So, and all of the Jewish people were expected to keep every one of those. Now, most Christians have a tough time keeping the Ten Commandments, much less 613 laws. How many of you would fare pretty poorly if you had to keep 613 laws? You can't do it. Now, as a pastor, I could give you an owner's manual for living the Christian life. Of course, it'd be the Bible. But I could make my own little list here and say, here's what I'd really like you to do. If you'll just follow this list, I think we can keep you on track. But the problem is, if I gave you a list and commandments and all of these guidelines, as fast as I could write the list, you'd break them, and I would too. Because we've proven ourselves incapable of keeping all of these laws. In fact, even if you're a person of resolve, you'd still break the law eventually. Even if you were a person of resolve, great resolve. In fact, I just read the other day that most people break their New Year's resolutions by February. Everybody, I've got good news for you. This is your month. They break their resolution by February. That's how bad we are at keeping some kind of a law. Now, I've made a resolution for about the last 10 years that I've never broken. I'm batting 100% at it. And the resolution is that I don't make any resolutions. And I've been able to keep that one for 10 years in a row. Can I get away to say amen now? Here's what I want you to see here this morning. I have found that if I can simply help people to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not me, will convict them and keep them from sin. In other words, as a pastor or as a believer, if you try to keep everybody walking the line, you're going to be living a frustrating life. But if you can get people and help people to walk in the Spirit, then guess what? The Holy Spirit takes over, and then the Holy Spirit keeps them from sin. How many know that the Holy Spirit is our great counselor, but he's also our great convictor? How many of you ever had the Holy Spirit counsel you and like, oh, wow? And how many of you had the Holy Spirit comfort you, amen? But then how many of you had the Holy Spirit also convict you, amen? He does all of those things, and you don't need somebody else to come along to tell you, because if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's going to be prompting you. He's going to be comforting you, counseling you, convicting you, and all of those things. And he's going to keep you from sin and destruction, amen? So don't try to keep up with keeping the law, because you're going to fail. In fact, I wrote this in my notes. I should have written it in your notes. When we live under the law, you live under condemnation. But when you live in the Spirit, you live in liberation. In other words, liberty, freedom, and deliverance. Read Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, we stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. How many know that we walk in liberty as believers? Amen. Let me just give you a quick cutaway to Romans right now. Just hold your place in Galatians. What did Paul say to the Romans about this matter of the law? He says this: there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to be walking under condemnation. You're going to be, hallelujah, you're going to be, that weight of condemnation is going to be lifted off you. You don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Can I get a witness this morning, amen? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God we live in a new covenant right now. We're not bound by the law anymore, but he has made us free from the law of sin and death, because we're in the law of the Spirit right now. We're walking in the Spirit, and that frees us up from the law of sin and death. That should make you want to just shout a loud amen. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go back to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, look at verse 19. It talks about the works of the flesh and it talks about living in the Spirit. First of all, the works of the flesh are evident. How many of you believe that the works of the flesh are evident? Yeah, they are. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, which is worshiping idols, sorcery, magic arts, and that kind of thing, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, then it goes on, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. I always like to look up these words and say, what are all these things? Like revelries, for instance, is festivities that include drinking large amounts of alcohol. All of these things, and then it goes on, and it says this, and the like, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I've also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch, everyone here this morning, sometimes we go like, man, I'm glad I'm not a murderer. Thank God I'm glad you're not either. Can I get a witness, amen? Or we'd all be dead here if we were all murderers. You're not murderers. You're doing really well on that. But on the rest of the list right now, all of us can find ourselves somewhere on that list, because it's a work of the flesh. How many of you know we've tripped up when it comes to the flesh? We've tripped up every now and then. Come on, everyone. The rest of you ain't telling the truth. Let me help you out here this morning. How many of you that we've tripped up when it comes to the flesh? Every one of us has. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've all missed the mark. But that's not what God has for us. He doesn't have for us to be living in the flesh, but to be walking in the Spirit. And then Paul goes on and he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, say with me this morning, the fruit of the Spirit, as opposed to the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How many like faithful people? Amen? Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, we're not living under the law anymore, not the law of the letter of the law, but we're living under the law of the Spirit. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Just as Christ was crucified on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sin, our flesh also needs to be crucified on a daily basis. Can I get a witness here this morning? So here's the bottom line. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Say with me this morning. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Hey, everybody, this morning, God has called us into relationship, not religion, but relationship. And relationship has to do with walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Say with me this morning, walk in the Spirit. And so now, walking in the Spirit, I wrote this down, and I'd never heard this anymore, but I just wrote it down in my own notes, because it's just part of, here's what it is. Walking in the Spirit is in real time. In other words, it's a constant thing. It's not meant to be intermittent or interrupted. It's real time. It's meant to be constant, but not intermittent and not interrupted, all right? Now, when I listen to satellite radio in this day and age that we live in, we have radio, but we also have some satellite radio. How many of you ever listened to a satellite radio, right? And here in Sacramento, if you drive up in certain parts of the city, you'll hit what's called a dropout zone. And like you'll drive for a half a mile and then all of a sudden your radio just quits working for no reason. But every time you drive through that same zone, it just kind of drops out. I don't know why, when it drops out, the music stops or the conversation stops. You're disconnected immediately when it drops out. The same thing happens when there's a dropout of the Holy Spirit in our lives. His presence is always there, but we're not always tuned into His presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says if we go up into the heavens, He's there. If we go down to the hells, He's there. You can't get away from God, but you can sure tune Him out. Hearing what I'm saying? How many of you know that there's radio waves right here in this room right now, but you're not tuned into any of them? You got to have a radio to do that. But He doesn't want you to have any spiritual dropouts. Now, think of this. On the internet and Wi-Fi, how many of you use the internet and Wi-Fi, right? We are dependent on the internet and Wi-Fi in our lives today. In fact, in our office, when we have a internet failure, if it goes down, our office productivity goes down. How about your office, right? Whenever there's a dropout in the IT department, we're disconnected, we all of a sudden get unproductive because we're missing out on the internet, or if we don't have Wi-Fi, man, I can't do anything today, I don't have a Wi-Fi signal. God wants us not to be connected to the Spirit just on an intermittent basis, but on a constant basis. Can I get a witness here this morning? Otherwise, when we get disconnected, we become unproductive. Can I get a witness here this morning? So up to this point right now, when we're talking about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, God wants us to be in the Spirit daily, hourly, every minute, constantly connected. Amen? Not intermittently, not just when we feel like it. Lots of people say, well, I just want to live for God when I'm living for God. And I don't want to be in the Spirit when I'm walking in a bar. So they turn off the Spirit right then. Let me tell you what, when you're fixing to walk into a bar, that's when you need the Holy Spirit more than you ever did. Because He's trying to keep you from sin. Can I get a witness? In other words, God doesn't want you to hang out with Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. Can I get a witness? Amen? But He says, I'm going to help you if you'll be into the Spirit. In other words, if you say, well, I just don't want to be walking the Spirit because I'm fixing to sin. So I'll just turn off the Spirit right now. I'm going to disconnect from the Holy Ghost internet, if you will. And then they fall prey to sin and all that goes along with it as well. God says, no, I want you to be tuned into me right now so that I'm going to give you a way of escape through the Spirit as well. Can I get a witness here this morning? So it's quiet in here, which means people are listening. You're not sleeping, you're listening, because what I'm saying is true. God doesn't want us to have dropouts in our life. He wants us to be in constant contact with the Holy Spirit. I'll prove it to you here in just a second, but give me a loud amen by faith, okay? Okay, so steps now to walking to the Holy Spirit, and I had to write that down. Steps to walking in the Holy Spirit, that kind of goes together, doesn't it? Number one, read the Word of God every day. Say with me this morning, read the Word every day. Why? Because the Word of God was written by the Spirit of God. So if we want to learn to be people who walk in the Spirit, we've got to be tuned into what the Holy Spirit already wrote for us. So read the Word of God every day. In fact, the Bible says this, no prophecy, and that's this right here, the more sure word of prophecy right here, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. It wasn't like, hey, let's just get together and write this book. No, no, no. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that wrote the Word of God. Can I get a witness here this morning? And the Bible says this, all Scripture is God-breathed. Say with me this morning, God-breathed. So it's all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, how to live right, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everyone look at me this morning. How many of you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Then read this Word of God that's inspired by the Spirit of God that's going to help you to live your life and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And all of God's people said amen. Why read the Bible every day? Say it with me this morning, every day. For the same reason that you eat every day. In the same way that food helps to keep you physically alive, God's Word, the bread of life, will help to keep you spiritually alive. Now, a lot of people here this morning, man, I thank God for food. Man, I love food. I think food is one of the greatest inventions in God's whole creation. Because you can eat it five times a day for 90 years or 100 years and still be looking forward to your next meal. You never get tired of it. Can I get a witness, man? Right? Come on. Work with me, everyone. Now, some of you here this morning, you've already passed the sermon. You're thinking about where you're going to go to eat today already because food just got such a great hold on you. Are we going to Mimi's today? Are we going to In-N-Out today? Are we going to go to Starbucks today? What are we going to do today? It all has to do with food for your physical body. Nothing wrong with that. But the question is are you going to get in the Word of God? And does the Word of God have the same pull on you as physical food? The bread of life should be just driving us, man, every day. I want to get into the Word of God. I want to see the Word of God. And I want to read the Word of God because I want to be I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Can I get a witness, amen? Now, if you will be in the Word of God will be in you. It's in your notes. Say with me this morning, if you'll be in the Word will be in you, and it'll help you to walk in the Spirit. Okay, secondly this morning, steps to walking in the Spirit. Secondly, make praying in the Spirit a priority. Praying in the Spirit a priority. Why? Because prayer is the access point to the Holy Spirit. It's the access point. It's the entry-level access point to the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question this morning. Where was the Holy Spirit first poured out? Or it was poured out in a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2. They were praying. It started out with prayer. And then God poured out His Spirit. So prayer is the access point to inviting the Holy Spirit to have a place in your life. Now, the Bible says this. Pray in the Spirit. Sometimes, maybe not. Other times, maybe not. No, no. It says this. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Say with me this morning. Pray in the Spirit. When? At all times. And on every occasion, be praying in the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says this. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't always know how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Let me say this. So the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you to pray, and the Holy Spirit will always pray in line with the will of God. How many of you want to pray in line with the will of God? Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you with that. In fact, the Bible says, and God, who searches all hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I said before, prayer is the access point to the Holy Spirit. It's the opening point. In other words, prayer is how you log in, if you will, to the Holy Spirit, talking in computers talk. How many of you are familiar with logging in? All right, with the computers. When you pray, you log in to the Holy Spirit, if you will. Now, on a login page, you'll see in some login pages when you're getting there, it'll say there's a little box in there that says, keep me logged in. Sometimes When you see that, when you're praying, as it pertains to the Holy Spirit and as it pertains to prayer, always check yes on that box. Can I get a witness? Amen. In other words, do you want to stay logged in? The answer is what? Yes. God, is this just going to be just for a few minutes we're going to be logging in? Nope. I want to be logged in for a lifetime. Can I get a witness here this morning? And by the way, if you don't have an account, if you got to register as a new user, receive Christ as your Savior, hallelujah, then you're the new user. Can I get a witness? And God says this, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit as well. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Amen? Amen. All right. I know your hands are busy, but give me a loud amen. 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 There you go. There's the church I know. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Here's the third way to walk in the Spirit. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. And so the Bible says this, don't be drunk with wine, where is in excess, because it'll ruin your life. It'll lead to debauchery. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the same question that Paul asked back in the days when he ran into the church at Ephesus, he said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? And he said that, and they go like, well, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak with tongues, and they prophesied. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they didn't even realize that there was a Holy Spirit to be filled with. If you want to walk in the Spirit, make sure that you're full of the Spirit. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. There's a little sequence here. First of all, we're saved. Say it with me this morning, saved. Baptized in water. Say it with me, baptized in water. Thirdly, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say with me, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed? And I pray that the answer is a big time yes. And if you haven't, say, God, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit and your power that you promised on the day of Pentecost. Can I get a witness here this morning? Hallelujah. Give me a loud amen. 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 Number four here this morning, be led by the Spirit. Say with me this morning, be led by the Spirit. Now, when we say be led by the Spirit, it means be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, His leading and His promptings in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul wanted to share the gospel outside of Jerusalem. He wanted to go into the uttermost parts of the world. So he says, God, I want to go to Asia. This is in Acts chapter 16. But when he said, I want to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. He was prevented from going to Asia by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul said this, well, then I want to go to Bithynia. And he says, nope. The Holy Spirit says, nope. I know you want to go to Bithynia, but you're not going to go there. I'm preventing you from going to Bithynia. Not the right time. Then Paul says, man, I don't know what to do. So one night he was sleeping and he had a vision. How many of the God will speak to us even in visions and dreams? So he had a vision, and there appeared to Paul a man from Macedonia and pleaded with him, and he said, come to Macedonia. Go to the next one here, if you would. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. He had a vision, and he appeared to Paul that night, and a man from Macedonia pleaded with him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. How many of you know that that would get your attention? God said, you can't go to Asia, you can't go to Bithynia. I mean, go figure. Why would God say you can't go to those places? Because he had something different and something better for him or something that he wanted him to do. So a man from Macedonia appears to him in a dream, and after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord called us to preach the gospel to them. That always makes me smile, man. If you wonder what God did, man, he showed up in that dream, and he says, I want you to go to Macedonia. A man from Macedonia says, come and help us. How many of you know that that would get your attention? And Paul says, now I know we're supposed to go to Macedonia. But again, he was sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to say here this morning is this, learn to be led by the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will say this, no. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, go. In other words, yes. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, he'll say, you know, slow, just wait. So God answers prayers in three ways. He says, no, say with me this morning, no. And he says, go. And then he says, slow other times. But listen to his promptings. Remember this, God's delays are not God's denials, and God has something better in mind for you even when he says no, amen? Let me just ask you a question there this morning. How many of you ever prayed for something and you didn't get it? And you said, God, I don't know why I didn't get that. And then you got down in life just a few more months or years behind it. And you go like, you look back and you go like, oh, I'm so glad that God said no to that prayer. Can I get a witness? Amen. Because if he hadn't said no, you wouldn't be here where you're at today. Or you wouldn't be in the place in life that you are today if he would have just given you everything that you wanted. Sometimes God says, no, I don't want you to go there. Somebody else is going to cover that. I've got something else for you to do, and it's all going to be good. Can I get a witness here this morning? But always be sensitive to his promptings. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Now, the other day, a few days ago, I received a bag at church on Wednesday night from a lady in our church who puts these bags together. And she's feeling led by the Holy Spirit and has for a long time. Prompted by the Holy Spirit to help the homeless. How many know that God will help us to share the gospel and also to help people that are in need? Amen? And he'll prompt you and to do what you're supposed to do. But anyway, for her, it was to put together a little bag. And so she gets these bags and what's that? What did I say? Oh, it keeps going. Okay. Okay, never mind. I thought I said something wrong. I thought, did I say old bag or something like that or whatever? No. She gets together these bags, and then she puts things in like a blanket, a nice fleece blanket, a little notepad, and a note, and a place where you can call if you need spiritual help or prayer or anything like that. Has a little pen that she puts in there. Then she has personal items, toothbrush, toothpaste, some things that you can eat that are non-perishables that you can eat, a bottle of water, shaving cream, and all kinds of little toiletries here, shampoo and soap and everything, and all kinds of toiletries. You got your own little built-in, all the little things, necessities that would keep you for several days just in this bag right here. I remember, now she told me, I asked her, how much do these cost? And she said, I use the first $300 for my VA check, she said, and I buy these and I put them together. They cost about $25 per bag to assemble a bag together, and then I give them out to the homeless. She does this on her own. Can I get a loud amen? Because she's been prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then she's been prompted by the Holy Spirit. She gave me one of these about a year ago, and one day I was at a meeting at a church over by Madison Avenue, I think Madison and 80, over at a church that way. I got out of the meeting by noon, and I decided to go get something to eat, and I just drove through a drive-thru. And as I remember, I can't remember what the drive-thru was, but I just went through a drive-thru to get a sandwich or something like that. And as I was driving out of the drive-thru, I saw a man on his with a dog, and they were it was a homeless man. He was traveling, though. There's different, all kinds of variations of homelessness, all right? If you work with the homeless, there's all kinds of variation. This man was in transit somewhere, but man, he had nothing left. And so I got him something to eat from McDonald's. It was McDonald's. Thank God for McDonald's, right? Okay. I still have an Egg McMuffin there. But it's been, I've been 3 years right now. I've only had three Big Macs in 3 years since I went on my diet. I haven't been to Burger King in 3.5 years. I haven't been to Wendy's in 3.5 years. I haven't been to Kentucky Fried Chicken in 3.5 years. I haven't been to Taco Bell in 3.5 years, but I'm craving every one of them. But still, I have a hard time keeping weight off. It's just amazing. Okay, that wasn't even in my notes. I don't even know why I'm talking about it. Oh, I was at McDonald's buying something small, okay? And then, so I got him a sandwich. I think I gave him a little bit of money a little bit of money because I didn't have much on me, and it was five or something or whatever it was. But I just wanted to help him. And then I remembered I had this bag in my trunk that we gave to me a year ago, and I got the bag out. It was everything that he needed for the next several days. He didn't have toothpaste and didn't have shave. He didn't have soap and all that stuff. He's going, are you kidding me? And just gave it to him, and he was so blessed. And now I was just thinking it'd be cool with our emergency kits that we have in the trunks of our cars also to have one of these bags handy for the homeless, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to ask Alea, where's Alea back there? Alea, stand up for a second. If you see Alea here at the church, or if you ever want to get a bag. You could just write a check out for $25 to Harvest Church, and we'll make you a bag and get it back to you. If you'd like to have one of these in your trunk, we can actually have her put together one for you, and you can have one in your trunk. I thought they were free, but nothing's free, okay? And, I mean, all of that stuff just costs money. But if you'd like one, let us know, and we'll figure out how to get it to you and get your name and bring it to church, and you can pick it up, all right? All I'm saying, though, is somewhere along the line, Leah was led by the Holy Spirit. She says, how can I be a blessing? How can I help? She was prompted by the Holy Spirit. She responded to that, and that prompting now is being a blessing to others in a great way. Can you give the Lord a great hand clap for that? Amen? Amen. Okay, last thing this morning is this: walk and live in the Spirit. Say with me this morning, walk and live in the Spirit. And let's read the scripture one more time, because it'll really help. Read the scripture one more time. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's it, right there. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's be connected to the Holy Spirit, not intermittently, not occasionally, but always connected, constantly abiding in Christ. And all of God's people that receive the word, give the Lord a big praise. Would you do that this morning? Amen? Amen. Stand with me all across the room here this morning. I'm going to pray with you and pray for you before we leave this place. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm getting this from the Holy Spirit right now. As we walk out of this place, we're going to walk out of this place, what? In the Spirit. Say with me, I'm going to walk out in the Spirit. And as I walk into this week, I'm going to walk into this week, what? In the Spirit. And when I get up on Monday, I'm going to be what? And when I go to bed Monday night, I'm going to be what? And on Tuesday, I'm going to be what? And Wednesday, I'm going to be what? Now, I hope you're not going to take a day off from the Spirit this week. And you say, Pastor Perry, I got sin planned already for Thursday. Well, then you better be in the Spirit on Thursday more than any other day. Can I get a witness? Amen? Hey, you look at me like I'm preaching some kind of a funny kind of a thing here this morning, but I know all kinds of Christians that go to church on Sunday, and they got sin planned for Thursday already. It's quiet in here, but I'm telling you the truth. It's just like, oh, I'm going to pull the plug on the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to get back. I'll ask for forgiveness on Friday. No. That's not what God has for us. Walk in the Spirit, and God says, I'm going to keep you from every desire and every lust of the flesh. I'm going to keep you from crashing and burning. Can I get a witness? Amen? Just walk in the Spirit. And then it's not just overcoming sin. It's also being a blessing. That's the bigger part of it. God, how can I share your gospel? How can I be a blessing to someone? Forget the sin thing. You know, that's just going to go away when you start walking in the Spirit. And then it's going to be, no, I'm heading towards a blessing here. Thank you, Lord God. Walking in the Spirit every day and every minute and every moment. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Holy Spirit.